Welcome to the Houston Strength Podcast. Let's uncover your strength.
What's going on, guys? And thank you for tuning in to the Houston Strength Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about strength and conditioning for combat athletes. This is something I have a good amount of experience with working across multiple disciplines, whether it be jiu-jitsu, boxing, MMA, Muay Thai. We've had quite a few different combat athletes come through the gym. And just talking about some considerations for when you're putting a training program together for an athlete, or if you're a combat athlete yourself and looking to get a little more structured on the back end of your strength and conditioning, this should be helpful for you. So one of the biggest roadblocks we encounter with combat sport athletes is they already have a full schedule. If you're competing at a high level, especially professionally, you're going to have to balance skill work. That's going to be your mitts, your footwork, your work in the gym, your road work, getting some miles in, your sparring. And then if you have a family life or a job on top of that, it makes for a small window of time to be dedicated to strength and conditioning. And not only that, strength and conditioning gets a stigma of putting on bulky mass for combat athletes, which they'll assume will slow them down. And in some cases, that can be true if the training program is more aesthetic based, more so than athletic based. So we're trying to train to be an athlete, not a bodybuilder. So when assessing a fighter coming into the gym, the things you want to think about are your genetics. Do you put on size quickly? Do you have trouble pulling weight off? And how that will play into the training program as you get into a camp. You want to think about your injury history. We have a lot of MMA athletes that have experienced lower limb injuries and can make for cardio, putting a lot of stress on the joints. We don't want to put a lot of stress on the joints in the gym as well. So we want to consider anything that has been injured before and make sure we're creating a durable athlete for their next outing. And then also their training experience. We'll have athletes come in and we've only got 3 weeks to get ready and they've never really worked with weights before. So we're going to pick simple movements to learn and progress and regress as we need to. You want to consider their fighting style, whether they're more light on their feet or a more powerful inside fighter, and how you can tailor the training to bring up a weakness and make it a strength. And then you also want to consider where you're at in fight camp. So again, if you're 3 weeks out from a fight, you're not going to be able to run strength cycles like you would if you're 12 weeks out from a fight when you're starting your camp. When we're assessing the objectives for performance for that athlete, we want to think about a few things. First of all, we want to make a powerful fighter. So we call that the rate of force development. That's going to be where there's an element of velocity in the training. We want to improve their reactive strength qualities. We want them to be able to react. And in the gym, we'll do this a lot with throws and plyometric movements. We want to improve range of motion in certain areas. So especially the hips, the shoulder, and the spine. We want to improve motor control of certain positions. So a lot of fighters are going to be in a split stance. So I like to implement that split stance as much as we can in training and make sure we're training rotation in training. And then again, building on that, we want to increase the force production capabilities through those ranges of motion that we're trying to improve. So making sure we're loading the hip, loading the shoulder, working on rotation, and doing it quickly and explosively. And then also, if you have an athlete that is a little low on the conditioning side, we want to improve the energy systems that we need to, whether that be through sprint training or GPP of loaded carry, stuff like that. And again, building on when you get a fighter coming into the gym that's a little weary of getting to weights, you don't have to do traditional hypertrophy bodybuilding style barbell movements, and I would advise not to. The resistance can come in a number of forms, including the athlete's body weight, improve their relative strength, suspension training. We love the TRX bands, kettlebells, medicine balls. We use the landmine a lot. There's no reason to just stick with your bench, squat, deadlift, and expect that to translate into the ring or into the cage. So we want to functionally develop the athlete, and that will mean using some different implements outside of your traditional barbells and machines that you'll see in your commercial gyms. Next, I just want to expand a little bit more on the difference between strength and power development. So when we're getting stronger, we're just trying to hit a higher weight for a particular number of reps. Whereas when we're talking about power development, there's going to be an element of speed. This is velocity-based training. You'll see it noted as VBT. And especially for combat athletes, it's important because they need to be explosive. Those punches, those kicks, those knees need to be coming fast and with power behind them. So you want to have a base of strength, and we always start our programs with strength training, but as we get closer to the fight, the speed of the movements increases. And by the time we get to fight camp at the end of it, we're week of, we're still doing explosive movements reactively up until fight week. So definitely get yourself up on what's velocity-based training and how to implement it with your fighters, because it's going to make a world of difference in building a complete athlete. When working with combat athletes, we already talked about time being sparse. So 2 to 3 days a week with a full body routine seems to work best for the majority of mine. I know a lot of people will do an upper lower split if the time is afforded. So you could do an upper lower and then a third full body day, or upper lower if you're working out 4 days a week. Next, I want to build on what our workouts look like. So I'm going to talk you through an example of a strength and conditioning workout that I would use for one of my combat athletes and give you a little bit of the why for why I'll pick particular movements and when I will implement them. So we will always start with our warm-up. And with the warm-up, we're trying to excite the weak muscles and slowly raise the core temperature up. And then we're trying to release the tight muscle. So we'll always start out with some self-myofascial release through the foam roller or the massage guns. We love the hypervolts. And then from there, we will do some static stretching into some more dynamic stretching. And it slowly speeds up. And by the end of the warm-up, we're jumping around, ready to go. Right after the warm-up, that's where you're going to want to put your power movement, how I just talked about the velocity-based training. You want to put the explosive movement right after the warm-up. So if we're doing any type of jump, we do a lot of med ball throws, that's where they'll come. When we're primed, ready to go, and have the most energy for the first movement of the day, it's going to be an explosive one. From that explosive movement, then we'll get into the primary compound strength movement. So say I did box jumps as my power movement, I might go into the strength movement, and I always like to hit the legs first. So we use the hex bar deadlift a lot with our combat athletes, but you could do a squat, you could do a lunge. And then I always like to work on down. So we'll do some type of pulling movement. I love inverted rows. We'll do dumbbell rows. A prone dumbbell row is an excellent one. And we do a lot of pressing with the landmine, or we'll do a close grip bench press. And I like to do a shortened range of motion for that. So you could do a pin press, or we love Elite FTS has a shoulder saver pad that we'll put on there and hit a close grip. You could do a floor press. Again, a little bit more tricep emphasis is going to help with the punching power, especially when they're not getting the hips involved as much. But your leg movement should probably be hip dominant for the most part. Your upper body pushing movement should be shoulder tricep dominant, in my opinion. And then when we pull, I find it's best to pull in a range of motion similar to how a punch is thrown. So we'll start with the arms extended and pronated with the palms down. And then we will finish in a neutral position with the hand turned in, just like it would be if you're in a guard. And then the special exercises after we finish our strength sets, this is where you want to focus on weaknesses. And so it's usually going to be hip dominant movements here for ours. We'll do more triceps or upper back if need be. This is where I'll throw neck work in. And then we usually finish with some core into the end of the workout, which is where we like to do our GPP, general physical preparation. We're just generally getting the body's fitness level higher. And this is where we'll do loaded carries. We'll do sled work. And what I've really liked doing recently is in between these carries and sleds, implementing some reflex training. So we use the Blaze Pod, the lights, you could use some HECO sticks, you could do some sandbag drills with different colors and just work some reaction in the rest while the athlete is fatigued. So I'm going to go over those quickly again. Our workout looks like this. It's going to be a warm up. After we warm up, we're going to go into the power movement. So that's going to be the explosive movement, a jump or a throw, into the strength movement. And I like to work from the largest muscle group down. So it usually is going to look like you're going to do legs, your pulling exercise, then your pressing exercise, then into the special exercises. This is where we'll get the neck, some more hips. And then we finish with our GPP, some loaded carries, some sleds. We'll do battle ropes there at the end. And that is a wrap. And just always consider that you're training to improve performance, not aesthetics. Your fighters will appreciate that. They are not going to care how they're looking so much as how they're performing in the ring. And in turn, they're probably going to look better too. That's usually a side effect. If you liked what you heard and you'd like to try a free week of programming, please visit our website, HoustonStrength.com. Click on the Train Heroic logo, and that will take you to a site where you can get a free week of training and you can go a little bit deeper into what we talked about today and try some of our workouts. Thanks, guys, and tune in next time.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe to catch the next episode of the Houston Strength Podcast and uncover your strength.